2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Alrighty, sports fans, welcome on in. It is Unrivaled on 97.5 1280 The Zone. I'm Scott Mitchell, and of course my co-host, Alex Keery, is lost. I can't find him! He's gone! Actually, he's in Puerto Rico? Oh, I shouldn't say that. He's trying to get a suntan. He's really white. And I'm calling it pasty white. He'll come back red. That's my prediction. Anyways, he's gone. I'm going solo. And I could tell you about going solo. I'm solo for the first segment here. I do have a co-host today, Scotty G from Hands and Scotty, which preceded us, but they aren't in the building. I'm in the building. They're off somewhere. Maybe he's getting a suntan too. I don't know. Anyway, he's going to join me in a few minutes. But for this first segment of the show, I'm actually going solo. And oh, you know what that means. If you have been under a rock, if you've been hidden somewhere, Utah, that's right, the University of Utah is going to the Rose Bowl. They're going to the Rose Bowl, and that is our cut.
The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, so this is a history-making moment for Unrivaled. It is the first time that I have gone solo on the show. And to be quite frank, I'm actually kind of excited about this. You know, it's like the kid in Home Alone when he realizes he's by himself and he just takes over the house. I don't have to listen to Alex. I don't have to respond to Alex. I get to say everything and nobody can stop me. There's nothing anybody can do. Except if you're not interested, turn off the radio, but don't turn off the radio because, man, it's going to be good. Okay. When I was a kid, like, I loved football. I mean, it was just, I dreamed about it. I played it every day at recess. I would sit in my house and throw a football up in the air when it was snowy outside. I'd go outside in the winter when there was snow on the ground and there was nothing else to do. And we had this lilac bush in our yard and I'd try to kick a football over the lilac bush into my neighbor's yard. I mean, anything, any moment, anything I could possibly do, it was about football. I grew up in a small town in Utah, like here in the state of Utah. And the state of Utah back then was not what it is today. And it's amazing. Like, it really is amazing the transformation that's happened here in the great state of Utah in so many areas. And one of those is football. So I graduate from high school, and I go to the University of Utah from a small town in Utah. And I haven't, I played in a state championship, and there probably were maybe 5,000 people in the stands. The first road game at the University of Utah in 1986, we play the Ohio State University, the Buckeyes. When you grow up a long time ago when I did, college football and the exposure was on the three networks basically. And there was always Big Ten football. I mean, there was always Big Ten football. And so I show up in Columbus, Ohio, just wet behind the ears, first time traveling to see big time college football, and we had a walkthrough the day before the game. And I'm redshirting, so I don't play in this game, which thank goodness I didn't, because we lost 64-6. And we were blown out before the game ever started. I just remember standing on the sidelines. Well, first of all, the walkthrough we had, we're on the turf on the field, and it's that 10 with the big, and if you grew up early, you know what that's college football. Ohio State, the horseshoe, Woody Hayes, Ohio State. It's college football, right? So here we are. We're at Buckeye Stadium in a walkthrough. Our running back coach, Wayne McQuivy, comes up to me and he says, "Can you believe that you're here?" And I couldn't. Like, it was beyond me. It was so fascinating to me that how we'd lost way before the game started. Like, we weren't even going to compete. Like, we were going to get just annihilated, and we did. And I remember the next day when we're playing, and I'm not playing, I'm on the sidelines, and my jaw's like dropped. I've never seen so many people in my entire life. 89,000 people. That was the actual attendance. 89,000 people. And they are hostile, and they do not care about you. And it was the absolute most intimidating thing I'd ever been through. I mean, it was just insane. It was crazy. And I think about where Utah football is today. And the fact that Utah now is playing Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. And I don't know if I've told you that yet, but that's what's going on. And I remember back at that time at the University of Utah, 35, 36 years ago, where there wasn't even a snowball's chance that Utah would ever go to a Rose Bowl or ever play and compete against the Ohio State Buckeyes. Now, it was interesting to see how my life changed and how the University of Utah's life changed. I remember watching the players for Ohio State. A guy named Chris Spielman, who was a middle linebacker, he was on a Wheaties box when he was in college. I mean, he was college football. And Chris ended up being one of my teammates with the Detroit Lions. And you want to talk about a weird individual. The dude was wired differently. And just the most intense individual I've ever met in my life. We actually were injured one year together, and we had to have pregame preparations, I guess, in the training room. I don't know what you want to call them. But I would sit in there. We were both getting things done to our body so we could play. And he had torn the pec muscle off of his entire body. And it was just balled up in his chest, and there was this big cavity, and it'd fill up with fluid during the week. And so he'd practice, and then they'd drain all the fluid out before a game. And it was just insane what this guy went through to play. And just, I mean, he's football, right? And Ohio State is football. And I'm seeing all of these guys for the first time. I was so starstruck. I was so out of my element. And I just said, there's no chance that we can win. But later in my life, like, and I had this epiphany, and I found out like how much your mind plays into what happens and how well you perform. And it was in that experience where I just felt so outclassed, and I didn't even play in the game. Right. But I just remember that we didn't think we could win. We didn't act like we could win. We didn't prepare to win. We had no shot. Like like I said, we had lost before we got there. And I remember in my life just saying, because football was my life. I mean, and I was just determined, like, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to figure this out, and I'm going to make it happen. And fortunately, I was drafted, and I was able to play 12 years in the NFL, and I had a really good career, and it was an amazing experience. But so much of it was because I learned to overcome like how I thought, and I expanded like my expectation, and I expanded my belief, like, you know, I can do this, and we can do this. And so here is Utah, and it's been fun to watch that evolution, and really watch Coach Whittingham, watch the program, watch the university grow up and become a program that can compete on a national stage. And I think a lot of that came here with the guy who eventually coached at Ohio State, and that's Urban Meyer. And I really believe Urban Meyer set a different standard, a different expectation, a different reality for this Utah football program. And I believe Kyle Whittingham, whether he wants to admit it or not, I think he learned a lot from Urban in that regard, and that has helped propel. Now, I'm not saying it's because of Urban Meyer, but in some ways it is. And Urban Meyer, I mean, Urban Meyer said Utah is a different program. We got to think different. We got to act different. We got to play different. We got to prepare different. Utah has a middle-of-the-road recruiting class in the Pac-12. I mean, Oregon has a nationally ranked, they're like 6, 12, 10 in the whole entire country in recruiting classes. They have Phil Knight, they have Nike, they have, and they have a different mindset. Not anymore. I mean, what I watched over the last 13 days, really this whole entire season, was watching this football program grow up. And this university really grow up. And it's funny because you have all these people who are, you know, they're Utah fans or BYU fans or Utah State fans. And everyone wants to claim they're the best, right? Well, we're the best because we beat you. And, you know, and good luck in the Rose Bowl. And do you know how silly that sounds? And I'm not knocking on BYU because I think BYU had a phenomenal year. I think BYU has done something very similar. I think Kalani has done something very similar where he's taken BYU, an independent, and quite frankly, in the world of college athletics, there's only one independent. It's Notre Dame. All right? Everyone else who's independent, they're swimming for their life. And BYU has been, I mean, they've been treading water. And they've been outcast. They've been banished from Power 5 football because they haven't been in a Power 5 conference, regardless of how good the conference or how bad it is. And that's a hard road to travel. But the university, the athletic department, Kalani Sitake has grown up as well. And this BYU has figured out a way. They've figured out a way to be relevant. And to say, you know what, we're not going to accept this. We're not going to accept being mediocre. And what BYU has done this year, quite frankly, I think it's better than last year because they didn't play anyone a year ago. This year, going 10-2, 10 wins with seven Power 5 schools on your schedule is exceptional with all the challenges that BYU has in recruiting and all the challenges it has as an independent. Remarkable. Because before the season started, when these players were recruited years ago, no one said, hey, BYU, you're going to be in the Big 12 conference. That's something that just happened this year. That's something that BYU won't reap the benefits of for, you know, 3 or 4 years and maybe further because of kids going on missions. So it's not the school. It's not that, you know, Utah doesn't deserve to be in the Rose Bowl or it's a weak opponent, or it's, you know, BYU is getting disrespected for the year. It's so fascinating to me because I've been there and I understand how powerful your mind is to your success and what kind of influence your brain has on how well you do. And it's just fun to see this happen in sports. And it happens everywhere. I mean, you have the Utah Jazz. Utah Jazz have never won an NBA title. And it's like there's this mindset of, well, we can't do that. We're a mid-market team, and I just say that's BS. And I say as soon as someone decides we're not going to accept this reality anymore, we're not going to say this is okay to just be average, to just compete. We're going to win championships. And this is what I really love about sports, quite frankly. It's not about sports to me. It's never been about sports to me. It's always been about what I find out about myself through sports. And you don't have to be in sports. I mean, people listening to the show, listening because it's sports, right? And some people don't because they think Alex and I are funny. And let's face it, I'm funnier than Alex. And he thinks he's funnier than me. And that's what's great. And we make fun of each other. And that's part of our show. But so it could be any avenue. You're a part of something. You commit to something. And it's tough. Utah has been to 3 Pac-12 championship games in the last 4 years. And they looked like garbage in the 2 previous. They looked like they didn't believe that they could do it. They looked like they didn't believe that they really were worthy or prepared to play in the Rose Bowl. And I don't know what happened this year. I really don't. I don't know what happened from the standpoint of was it these tragic deaths that happened? Was it the deaths that actually galvanized this team? Did they wake everyone up? Because it does happen. Like death is the thing in life that really gets our attention and helps us to understand what's really important. And I've experienced it personally in my life, and I've been close to people, and I've seen the impact that it has. And in a lot of cases, it does. I've seen it in my own family when my dad died, and it brought me and my sisters to a different relationship than we had before. And we realized that being really close was really important. And it changed that dynamic. So can that do it? Yeah. I mean, it can change your mind. And you look at this Utah team, and what's different? Like, are the players different? I mean, other than Cam Rising, they're not. And Cam Rising has had an incredible impact on this football team. But you look at his mindset and how he plays, and it carries on to people. And then other people start buying into things. And I can say this about Utah State, and I can say this about BYU, and I can say this about all of these football programs about how, it was a person coming in or a circumstance or whatever it was that galvanized a team to just say, we're not going to accept what people perceive us to be. We're not going to say, yeah, you're right, we can't do this. We're going to buy into the doubters, the naysayers. Why even try? Because we have no shot. 1986, it's like, I'm telling you, we walked into that stadium and we had lost already. You might as well just have put the score up before the game ever started, because we knew we had no shot. And why did we know that? Like life isn't predetermined. And that's another great thing about sports and what we love about it. We love to watch the drama unfold, the amazing story, the overcoming triumph, the triumph over tragedy. And that's what this theme of this Pac-12 championship and watching Utah triumph over tragedy. And the tragedy is whether it's the death of players or just the tragic inability to think bigger, to be more, to have a greater expectation, to try hard. I saw so many people, they don't even try in life. They just give up, or they don't try because they're afraid they might fail. Now, I say all of this, which I've said a lot, but I say all of this because Ohio State does not respect the University of Utah. They don't care. And you should be mad about it. You should be furious about it. Because this, they are attacking who we are. They are attacking what we stand for. They're attacking everything that we've been through. As a state, as a football program, as everything. And they've said, well, let me read this to you. I love the Rose Bowl. This is from an Ohio State fan message board. These are Ohio State people. And they said, I love the Rose Bowl, but I hate that tradition robs Ohio State of a better bowl game opponent. Ohio State versus Oregon, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Clemson, but we're stuck with Utah. Utah's good. Man, it could be a good game, but the opponent and matchup is still underwhelming. Now, this makes like the hair on the back of my neck stand up. I'm furious. I'm pissed off. And you should be too. And this game, this Rose Bowl, is a time to stand up. And I'm asking you, I'm on this air right now, and I'm asking you that we take nothing from these Buckeyes, not a thing. And we go out there as a fan base, as a football team, as a university, as a state, and we make a statement. And we let them know that they are playing the University of Utah. And they better put their chin strap on, they better buckle it up, and they better come ready to play. There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. And you have these opportunities in your life, and you have a chance to make a statement and to stand up. And what you're standing up for is yourself. You're standing up to say, I'm going to overcome me. Because that's what this is all about. It's about us overcoming our fears, our doubts, our insecurities, our lack of belief. And when you stand up to the bully, and I was so excited, by the way, that Utah got to play Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. Because you don't want anybody else. You want the Buckeyes. And I love that it's an opportunity to stand up to yourself and face your fear and face your doubts and overcome it. And there's no bigger stage, there's no bigger opponent than what Utah will face in the Rose Bowl. Flat out. Utah's the underdog, just so you know. And quite frankly, this is what Kyle Whittingham loves. He loves this. He loves to be the guy who isn't well thought of. He loves to be the guy who nobody, you know, gives any shot to. This is right where Utah wants to be. Nobody wants to play this opponent. You do not want to mess with the Utes right now. They are the team on fire. And I'm just telling you, people, think big. Think win. Cast your doubts aside and just go Utes. Oh, did I mention, by the way, Utah's playing in the Rose Bowl. I don't know if you've been under a rock, but yes, it did happen. Yes, the world is not coming to an end. And, man, I can't tell you how excited. We're going to take a break. And my partner in crime for the day has arrived. Scotty G is in the building. This is unrivaled on 97.5 1280 The Zone. We have got an amazing show. You don't want to miss it. Come right back. We're going to – I guess all these new coaches these coaches have had an amazing year. One of them could be the National Coach of the Year. We're going to talk about it when we come back.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone. and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.